is the Mobile Tech Podcast, brought to you by worldpodcasts.com. Now here's your host, Tech Girl Miriam Joar.
Hi, and welcome to the Mobile Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Miriam Joar, and today is Monday, January 29th, 2017. My guest this week is Erica Griffin. How's it going?
Hi, it's good.
Awesome. So happy to have you on. It's been a while. I've been wanting to have you on for a while now, so I'm glad you could make it.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I just feel a little, out of place at the moment coming back from vacation.
Oh, it's okay. We've talked about the news and we've kind of figured out what we want to talk about. So I think you'll do just fine. So I'm in Zagreb, Croatia this week.
I'm
recording this from my hotel room. So if it sounds a little odd, you know why. I'm a speaker at a conference here. So, you know, I've never been to Croatia or Zagreb. It's quite nice. A little chilly at this time of year. So what's happening with you these days?
Well, just trying to get back into the swing of things. And I just released my Razer phone review. So that was one of those kind of leftover reviews that I didn't get a chance to cover during the year. So that's finally out. And just getting ready for Mobile World Congress, trying to brace myself for the craziness.
That's pretty awesome. It's funny you mentioned that because this is an ongoing meme in this podcast. I still don't have a Razer review unit.
Ah.
So yeah, thank you so much, Razer PR. Well, I shouldn't be too mean on them. They keep telling me that I'm on their list and they'll send me one as soon as I can. I have a feeling they don't have many.
They had a hard time getting me one. It took them a while. That's also another reason why I didn't get it out sooner.
Makes sense. I mean, I think the feeling I get is that they have only X devices and they need to wait for people to return them. And as you know, collectively, we're really bad at returning review units, right?
Yeah, sure. yeah.
I mean, I can only speak for myself. I know that I'm kind of bad at returning review units, but I also think a lot of the podcasters I speak to pretty regularly are also pretty bad at returning review units. So maybe it's not just me.
Well, they tell you, oh yeah, you know, they'll give you a return label, but they don't really give you any specific date to return it. So then it's like, hey, do you mind if I keep it longer for later comparisons or whatever? And they usually don't care. So I let them know. I let them know that I still have it.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I do the same. I mean, after a year or so, I just, oh my God, I should return this. It's not nearly as much of an exact science, unfortunately. So, well, you know, it is what it is. So news, there's not a lot of news. We're kind of all in a lull before Mobile Congress is really what it is, right? Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah. I mean, we just came from CES and all of the kind of vaporware that we saw there and a lot of products that we actually are going to be getting. And then it just hits kind of a slump where everyone's just talking about rumors for the Galaxy S9. So yeah, it's kind of right in that slow spot.
Indeed. Well, you know, it'll pick up soon enough and then we'll be kind of inundated with news. But in the meantime, there's a few items on the agenda, I think, here in terms of news. The first one I want to kind of touch on is kind of, I think the freshest and newest is, you know, last year, Huawei launched the P10 and P10 Plus at Mobile World Congress, which are kind of their non-Mate flagships. If you think of the Mate as, I guess, the large phone like the Galaxy Note would be, then the P10 and P10 Plus are kind of like the Galaxy S8 and S8 Plus, right, for them.
Yeah.
And so we know one of these phones is going to be announced or released around that time, maybe not at Mobile World Congress, at least I haven't heard anything. But the thing that's interesting, and I had this conversation with someone about this, is the naming. You know, I always just went on with the idea that it would be called the P11, but you know, that doesn't sound really that good. And on top of that, somebody said to me, no, it's going to be the P20.
Right.
I was like, oh, I didn't think of that. That actually kind of makes sense. So what are your takes? Do you think they're actually going to, you know, do this? They're going to actually like call it the P20 and change things?
You see the name changing happening all the time. I mean, I don't see why they wouldn't. I mean, if you look at what LG's done, they've had their, what was it, V20, V30. So you kind of see them try to start aligning with the names of the other phones. I don't know if it gives it an idea that it's better somehow, or it's really a leap in generation somehow to try to get away from the branding that they previously had. So I really wouldn't doubt it that they would change it.
Once somebody just pointed that out to me, because I didn't read it in the news. I just was talking to another journalist and they said, hey, P20 is probably going to be called P20. And I was like, wow, why didn't I think of that? Or rather, that's a much better name than P11, if you think about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it makes a lot of sense to me that they would go that route, frankly.
It's like they're all trying to align with the 10 multiples, iPhone 10, Galaxy X or 10. Now everything's 20. Everything's keeping in line with. Oh, I'm so sorry that there is, of course, right when we start doing this, leaf blowers outside.
Yeah, I'm hearing that faintly. It's okay. We'll live with it. That's just the life of podcasting.
Right.
Look, we'll don't know anything about this device. We won't know much. We're not even sure it'll be announced at Mobile World Congress. The P9 wasn't. Was it P9 announced at Mobile World Congress? I don't think it was. It was a separate event, I'm pretty sure.
I think you're right about that. It was the P10 that was at Mobile World Congress.
P10 last year, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
I remember there was like the P10, and then I think the same day was the BlackBerry Key One just later on that day.
Yeah.
It was just madness. It was just madness. That's all I remember. Madness all
I remember
around.
Running around and not knowing where I was going when I was getting to the P10 announcement. I was so lost. But eventually you find nice people who are willing to. I think it was actually Josh of Android Authority who was like, oh, hey, and showed me where to go. So, yeah,
he's such a nice guy, that Josh. He's been on my podcast. So, I can only say nice things about him now since he's been on the podcast. No, I'm just kidding. I love Josh and I love the folks at Android Authority. They're good folks. They're good people.
Oh, yes. Oh, so, yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, so the other rumor, this one's like just a name. I can't believe we're actually having a conversation about a potential name. But that's what news and rumors are about. We kind of have to regurgitate a few things here.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we wouldn't have anything to talk about.
For me, it's so hard with rumors because I'm like, I don't know. Does it matter? To keep the news up, to get rid of the lull, I see. But I have such a hard time following rumors.
Yeah, no, I agree. So what's cool is that, and we talked about this on last week's podcast with John Fingus of Engadget, but it's cool that there's all these rumors floating around about Galaxy S9 and the Galaxy X or Galaxy 10, which I don't think we're going to see this year. I think it's going to be maybe a very pseudo prototypey thing will be shown very briefly at an event. But I have a feeling that in general, we're going to see something maybe next year. But I kind of wanted to get your feel for the, your thoughts on what you think of these, at least what we know, and we don't really know that much. And
we really know nothing.
Exactly. You did mention something, and I think I want to talk about, which is the variable aperture aspect, because I touched on this with John last week, but I want to discuss it further. But, in general, what's your take on this, first of all, on the Galaxy 10, Galaxy X? Supposedly a foldable phone with an actual foldable display. Other than the fact that I don't think it's going to happen this year, and you don't seem to think that either. What is your take on this? Would we want to go back to a flip phone form factor is what I'm asking.
I don't know. Did you go to the Lenovo event? I think it was a few years back where they showed that they had that bracelet bendable prototype phone. It looked like a phone it was like a snap bracelet. It's straightened out to being like a candy bar shape and then turned into a snap bracelet. I thought that was interesting. I think I might like that a little bit better than a folding, like a wallet type phone. Somehow get it to have a screen on the front and then open it out to kind of be a tablet or have it be like the screen on both sides. I'm not really sure how people would respond to that or know how to use that or what the interface would look like. We don't have any paradigms for that. It would be a total paradigm shift for that.
Yeah, I think for me, the only logical way to do this would be to do a flip phone, basically, where the display's on the outside, right? So you unflip it, like you open it and you get a longer, like taller aspect ratio display. You can scroll more and display more. And then you fold it in half and the two displays become both sides, and you can pick up the phone anyway. It knows which way you're looking at it, maybe through face identification of some sort, and it just automatically positions the turns on the part of the display that needs to be turned on. And that's kind of like the more compact interaction, maybe dialing phone numbers, making a call, doing something that doesn't require as much screen real estate. But like a flip phone where the screen would be on the inside, like we've seen these patents show, I don't find that really believable. Maybe for the Asian markets where flip phones are so popular.
Maybe, yeah. Right.
I don't
for
see
us,
that.
For us, I wouldn't think so either, because when I look at this, I'm like, is this something they're actually ever really going to release? I mean, when you think of how they started with the bendable displays, we had the Galaxy Note Edge. Was that what that was? And how they just started with the slight bend on one side, kind of just playing with it. I mean, if they start to roll out this new bendable tech, it's really going to, I think, start out more slowly because people don't know what to make of it, for one thing. So I would think for our market that if they do that and they go all out, that it will be, like you're saying, like the screen will be on the outside. And if you open it and turn it in portrait, then you'll have a full screen, like tablet.
That makes sense. The other thing that some people have brought up as an option is that it might be just a quarter of the phone that folds. So
you turn from
like a three-quarter size phone to a full size phone, or from a two-thirds size phone to a full three-thirds type phone.
Yeah.
And that's another option.
Yeah, I think... because like they did with the Galaxy Note Edge, how they rolled it out slowly to see how people would respond to it. And then, of course, having more time to advance with the technology, that would make more sense just to kind of start out just a little part of the screen, not the whole thing. So I'm really curious to see what they're actually going to do with that.
Yeah, I mean, we'll find out, right? I mean, I don't think it's going to happen this year. Honestly, for me, if I had to create a folding phone of some sort, what I'd want is something... kind of more like the Axon M from ZTE,
yes,
but with an actual seamless display. Because I think that, you know, that's one going from like a 16:9 display to like basically a square display almost would be, I think, a better use of real estate for my needs. But I, you know, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe using something like what we've seen in those Samsung patents makes more sense. I don't know. We'll find out, I guess.
Right. Well, smartphones these days, we expect to have it be always on, always something we can interact with, and people like to have the always-on display, for example. Now, if you fold that in half and you can't touch it, then that people aren't going to really want to open it up to just interact with it. So, I think it'll be definitely more Axon M-like.
Yeah. What about the Galaxy S9? I mean, the rumors are basically that it... you know, there are some leaked photos from Evan Blass, and they look like, what's interesting to me on these photos is it looks like more like a V30 type or Pixel 2 XL type design, where the kind of edges that roll around the side, like the curved edges of the display we have on the Galaxy S8 seem to be gone, and it's more like a regular, very thin edge bezel now. And I have a feeling, honestly, that's going to make it look less high tech and modern and bezel-less than the S8, if that's indeed the case. And then the other rumors are, and I want to talk about this with you a little more at length, is the variable aperture rumor for the camera. And then, of course, there's rumors of some sort of face identification technology that can be used for payments, meaning, you know, can be substituted or used together with fingerprint. And that we don't know, but right now it looks like the fingerprint reader will be below the camera in the back, which is a better location than next to the camera. But it doesn't seem to be low enough, in my opinion. I think that, you know, the phones that have fingerprint readers in the back, usually the best spot is about two-thirds down the way or two-thirds up,
yeah,
I guess.
Totally agree.
One-third down.
Where your finger would actually hit. It would hit there naturally. So to have to really go up and stretch, it becomes... unnatural. There's muscle memory, but I'd rather it be more where it sits naturally.
Yeah, I agree. So I think the trick will be to see, you know, if what they're what we've seen in these images where the fingerprint reader is below the camera is certainly going to be an improvement over having it next to the camera like it is today. But I think that it might not be low enough to be right. But again, if this thing has a really good Face ID type, authentication system, then I think it's going to be viable too, right? Because I mean, honestly, I think, you know, having used an iPhone 10 on and off for a while now, it works and it's really nice. And it brings, you know, the concept of like continuous authentication where, you know, if you stop looking at that status screen, notification screen, you don't actually see the notifications. And I think this is definitely the future. There's something there about it that tells me that we're going to take this for granted in a few years on every phone. And what else do we know about Galaxy S9? I don't know. I hope we don't get more Bixby.
Yeah, I mean, people are like, can we just get rid of Bixby now? Get rid of the button, or at least let us remap it or something.
I know, it's kind of scary.
We could turn it off eventually, which I did do. But there were some cool things with Bixby, but I'm just wondering how many people would actually use that. And it's interesting because people ended up being huge fans of Bixby and how you could get it to do several integrated features that were operating system level deep, like turn down the brightness and turn it on silent mode, and it would nest these features and do them all at once. So if you would badmouth it, eventually people got pretty mad. I saw in my comment section, like, what are you talking about? It's so awesome. So curious to see what's going to happen with Bixby.
I don't know. I'm not convinced. I'm not sold on this thing. I think that, like, anybody who likes Bixby is like an edge case. I'm sorry to tell you, Phil, you're a Bixby fan out there. But I think the other thing is the rumors confirm, well, they're rumors, so they can't confirm anything.
Yeah, right.
But the rumors indicate that the Galaxy S9 will retain the headphone jack, which I think is good news.
Yes.
Because honestly, if Samsung lets go of that, you know, that's it. Like, that's when I think the battle will be completely lost. In my opinion. but let's talk about that variable aperture thing. So last week when I discussed with John Fingers, my thing was, look, variable aperture has been done before by, Huawei, where, you know, they use the two cameras to do basically a variable aperture in software, right?
Right.
Like basically, computational photography, just like portrait mode, but where you can change the amount of blur using synthetic aperture that goes from like 0.95 to f/16, which is kind of two really extreme opposites. And I think it works pretty well. I mean, it's been there since the P9 and it eventually evolved on the Mate 9 and then the P10 and the Mate 10 now. Of course, you know, they added the pure portrait mode where you don't have to do any adjustments and it just works magically. Because Apple kind of brought that to the table. They automated the process. But so to me, when I hear variable aperture, I ask myself, is that what it is? Which is what the premise I was having when I discussed this with John Fingers. And then the other side of the coin, which is kind of like landed in my brain this week more since I discussed it last podcast, is the potential that this is what Samsung did with their new flip phone, like super luxury gold blingy flip phone for Asia that they launch in China usually every year around this time. And I read about this on Engadget. Richard Lai wrote a story. It's the W series phone from Samsung. They're basically Galaxy S flagships of the year. So in this case, the SA repackaged into a really blingy golden flip phone with super high-end features. But this particular model he wrote about had variable aperture, but they didn't do it in software. They did it by having basically two f-stop settings physical with an iris like a real camera would. But instead of
that,
like,
I mean, that's,
go on.
Is that what they, I haven't read up on that. So is that what they did? They actually have a dynamic iris?
Yeah, they have an f/1.5 or 1.6 mode and an f/2.2 mode or something. Don't quote me on that. I would have to read the web to get those numbers exact. But look for an article from Engadget about a W series flip phone that came out, like the article came out like November, December-ish. And what I'm trying to get to here is that that's another way you could, you know, you could talk. To me, it's not really variable. It's more like twin aperture or like two settings because, you know, even good cameras have only like they don't have an infinite amount of aperture settings. It's like their steps, right?
There's yeah,
like
I mean, that's what I thought they were doing.
So I don't think that's way too complex to do, I think, mechanically on a phone that thin and make it reliable when you drop your phone and stuff. Because, you know, that's one of the big problems with all these tiny moving parts.
Yeah, right.
But having an iris that can go between just two positions, I think, is a lot easier to control mechanically.
Right. And I think I would agree with that.
It could bring some value to the experience. The reason I dismiss that as a possibility, even though I read about the W phone, or you know that new flip phone a while back when me and John were talking last week, was that I just feel like it can be done in software computationally so much better and so much easier, which is what Huawei has shown us. And since then, others have replicated it. Samsung has it on the Note 8. They don't actually have a slider with values between f-stops, but they do have that slider, which varies the amount of basically bokeh in the background. That's the same. To me, it seems to make more sense to make it in software, but at the same time, perhaps Samsung's gonna... So I'm basically kind of changing my mind and saying maybe Samsung will revisit it and do this in hardware like they did on the flip phone luxury W series. And maybe they'll do a combination of the two where they'll have intermediate steps in software with two fixed steps in hardware. I mean, gotcha. No matter what, it's going to be interesting. And the world of mobile photography is going to iterate further by having this technology. So I'm in. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I don't think it would. Yeah, I really wouldn't mind if they did it all hardware-wise. I'd be so curious because in their press releases, they're just saying, what, the camera reimagined? So you know they're going to be doing something pretty big with it that they can really sink their teeth into and brag about. So that would be the only reason I would think that they're going to do this hardware-wise, having you'd be able to control the stops. So,
I mean, you know, maybe they won't pull any stops. I had to go there. I'm so sorry, everybody. Please. Wah, wah, wah. But yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. And I'm looking forward to this press conference at MWC for sure. I mean, who doesn't want to go to a Samsung press conference at MWC? Right?
It's the highlight of going there. It's the whole, I mean, look what happened last year when Samsung wasn't actually there. It
was boring.
Yeah, that's sad to say. It was pretty boring. I did have a chance to look at a lot of other devices that I wouldn't have had much chance to really spend on, but Samsung is the spice of the show.
So. Yeah, and remember the Galaxy S7 launch with the VR headsets? Were you there?
Yep. Oh, yes.
Oh,
yep.
My God, that sea of VR headsets and Mark Zuckerberg walks up on stage. That was like, I will always remember that. That was like an insane, you know, press conference moment, almost as insane as that one time at CES a few years ago where Samsung had those weird animal pet people. Remember that? They had like basically like a Broadway musical.
Which phone?
Like cats.
Oh my gosh,
stage.
Yes. Oh yes, that was horrible.
That was like a few years back. It was
It's like I think after that they didn't do that again.
No. I felt like we were all in psychedelics collectively watching that press conference unfold. It was quite the experience. But yeah, look, I think it's going to be a good MWC. What else do we know? Let's kind of talk a little bit about what we know about MWC. So Galaxy S9 is in the can. There's a press event. We've been invited. What else?
Yes. Well, we know that LG pulled out, and that's interesting. That's an interesting topic because it doesn't look like they're going to be releasing yearly G7. Like they are now.
Yeah,
which is interesting because Sony did the same thing and they are releasing new phones every year still and are still at Mobile World Congress and are usually the first phone with the new SoC inside of it. So I don't know.
That is true, right? XZ, what is it called? Premium?
XZ Premium.
Thank you. Yeah. You rescued me, Erica. Thank you. that phone, Xperia XZ whatever it's Premium. Called, was at MWC last year in its shiny awesomeness, showcasing Snapdragon 835 And yes, the gigabit Ethernet, sorry, gigabit Ethernet, gigabit LTE as a big deal. And all I could think of was monolith of fingerprint madness. That's all I could think about watching this phone in its case.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I ended up getting the Seafoam Black, or the Sea, not Seafoam, Sea Black, Deep Sea Black. Anyway, that one was a little bit better looking with fingerprints. If you got the silver one, I mean, that was just a mirror. It's a great vanity mirror, and I didn't end up getting that one.
So. Yeah, I remember that. So,
but they also came out with many other colors. I mean, they came out with a red one recently, and I'm telling you, I kind of want it.
True. Which other phones were announced at MWC last year?
So G6. We discussed the key one, the G. Yeah, we were in the briefing, I think.
Yeah, P10, P10 Plus.
G6. Yeah.
And then the Galaxy. No, the Galaxy wasn't there last year. So
yeah, that was in April. That was its own special event.
So that was it, right?
Yeah, I mean, yep, that was it.
Yep. So this year, Galaxy S9, what else are we expecting? Anything from Huawei that you know of? Maybe the P20?
Maybe the P20.
And then nothing from LG. They pulled out because, you know, maybe let's talk about this a little bit. So the G7, there was a G7 on the table, and the new head of mobile just destroyed it and threw it out the window.
Yeah. They were like, you know what? We can't compete, and we need to regroup and figure out how to do this in a not yearly manner.
What do you mean? Like, the thing is, I kind of get it, but I also don't get it, because what do you mean you can't compete? Like, you don't want to compete? Like, what are you talking about? You need to go out there and do something, LG. And the V30
you
was...
You know how they are with their marketing.
The V30
their
was...
Their marketing is the end of
that's
them.
That's true. The V30 was a valiant effort. I think it was probably the most underrated phone of 2017,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I think the issue just ended up being with their screen and how it was really, if you cared at all, when you turned down the brightness, if you like reading in bed, for example, it was so splotchy.
Oh, yeah.
It looked like a Galaxy Nexus. So that threw me off. But other than that, oh my gosh, yes, it was a beautiful phone.
It was amazing. And I just don't want them to give up. I mean, I hope they're not. I mean, the G7, I would love to be a fly on the wall at whatever meeting they decide to cancel the G7, and I would have loved to see it. Maybe if we get cozy with Ken Hong in like 2 or 3 years, we'll see a prototype of the G7. He'll just randomly pull it out of his pocket and say, hey, I found it, this is what it used to be. Wouldn't that be cool?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that would be nice. Yeah,
so they're probably gonna change the naming convention too, right? You figure?
I'm sure they just want to redo their branding. I bet you that if they're going to do anything, they need to do a total marketing rehaul. And so I'm sure they'll have to start with a new name.
Indeed. What else? HTC didn't do anything last year, right? The U11 came out later.
Yeah, it did.
And so we haven't heard anything about them doing anything this year, have we?
Not. What was the, there's the U, what was it? U Life, U11.
U11 Life is Life, out now. It's done.
Something. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing that I've heard recently. I haven't heard anything else coming out for them.
Well, we'll find out. I think the U11 Plus is the most recent one, and nobody gets it unless you live in like 5 countries or something.
Right.
Which is disappointing because it looks really awesome. But at the same time, you know what we're gonna get? Alcatel phones.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, we've got the BlackBerry, which is now underneath Alcatel, but then we have the idle subset of the phones as well.
Yeah, what are they?
What else?
Didn't they mention them at CES? I can't remember.
I think they revealed the names. Briefly, I remember.
They revealed the names at CES. I can't remember. They were like numbers, like 3, 5, and 7 or something. Anyway.
Yeah, I would have.
There's a bunch of phones from Alcatel. We'll stay tuned. You know, Alcatel is an interesting player. I think they make some really nice mid-range phones. Although I have to be honest, my standards for mid-range phones have been completely destroyed and spoiled in a good way by the Honor 7 Plus, which for $200 blows my freaking mind. Still today, after 3 months, 2 months of using it. It's just like you cannot go wrong with that phone. I mean, yes, you can in some ways because there's no NFC. You can in some ways because it's got the stupid, crappy, terrible Huawei skin and launcher. But a lot of these things can be alleviated. And for $200, it kicks so much ass, that phone. It's just so good. Like, it really is. Do you not feel that way?
I actually haven't gotten to play with it, so.
Oh, that needs to be remedied.
Uh-huh. Blow. Big blow.
Yeah, we need to get you hooked up on that one. I mean, it's phenomenal for the money.
I have been pretty amazed of what the Honor brand has done with their range of phones for the price.
Yeah, right?
So I have to agree. I have to agree there, most definitely.
Yeah, so I think that's all I know right now. I don't know of anything else. So potentially the Huawei phones. And we definitely have the, this Galaxy phones. And then we have the Alcatel phones. This is pretty much a sure bet. I would love to see BlackBerry come out with a Key 1 to version 2 or something. You know, it's been a year.
Yeah, I would like that. Yeah, I would definitely like that too.
I mean, did you have one? Isn't the Key 1 pretty sweet?
Yep. Definitely had that and played with it and kept it on me for a while. And then, of course, everything else comes out and I don't have time to go back to a lot of phones that I really do like.
I know. It's annoying. Like, there are some phones I haven't spent enough time with this past year because something came along that just eclipsed them. And it sucks because I don't really have time to visit them, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I felt a lot about the OnePlus 5. Not the 5T. I like the 5T, but the gold OnePlus 5, for some reason, I just loved that color and that phone and all of its capabilities so much. And I thought at one point, I'm never going to use another phone. And then everything else came out. The Note came out and the iPhone X and Pixels, and that was it. So
yeah. And you know,
that's the life of a reviewer.
Considering the Note and the iPhone X and the Pixel 2 XL, both of those are three of the top five phones of 2017. That kept us busy for a while. Right?
Oh, yeah, it did.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, I kind of ended up burning out last year, and that hasn't happened before because there was just so much and that there were so many great phones. Last year just killed it. Everybody had something that was fantastic.
It's true. I mean, I'm amazed it wore you out. You're like impossible to wear out, Erica. What happened?
I didn't sleep properly, didn't stop to take care of myself. And these are obvious things, but
yeah, it's kind of, you need the basic functionings of your body to be able to do stuff, right?
Yes.
It's tough because, you know, like a lot of our listeners here, you know, probably don't realize because unless you've lived the life of the tech journalist, it is a grueling thing. It's hard.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, they tell you, "Oh, go get a real job." It's like, do you realize that my job doesn't stop at the end of the day? I'm working 18-hour days easily. So, thanks for that.
I have a real job. Damn it!
hey, man, this is as real as it gets. No,
exactly. what was I gonna say? You know, there's a couple of non-phone things, but kind of related to phone things that we can talk about in terms of news, and that would be the HomePod and the DJI, the new drone. Was it the Mavic Air? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, and they invited me to the press event. And
ooh, you have a connection with DJI. Nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy for me to get out to New York. Was this one in San Francisco? No, I think it was New York, but I did not get to go to that. And what they released was the Mavic Air, and it's a smaller version of the Mavic, so that's so cute. I end up being so paranoid with doing much with drones, especially in my area, because there's airports everywhere. Uh-huh. So I don't know how much I can do and cover. There's so many beautiful places in Washington to go and film, but you're not allowed to go anywhere. Everything's on lockdown.
Well,
so.
Yeah, between Everett and Boeing Field and SeaTac, you're pretty much like surrounded by planes all the time, 24/7.
Yes, and it's raining all the time. So they did have me part of a campaign, and I ended up having to bail. And I still have the product; haven't even had a chance to fly it yet because it's always raining, and you can't take those things out in the rain. So it was beautiful, sunny, and then right when I got the product to look at, winter came.
Wait,
of course,
don't they?
So.
Don't they make drones that are IP68 yet?
There is a don't take it in the rain. So at least model the Spark.
Oh, the Spark. The I was watching Casey Neistat's kind of tech review of the Mavic Air. And he compared it to obviously the Mavic original or Mavic Pro, whatever it's called, right? Mm-hmm. And the and the small one, the one you just mentioned, what's it called again?
Yeah, the Spark.
Spark. And it looks like it's actually slightly smaller than the Spark even.
Oh, yeah. I didn't get like to see that.
When it's unfolded, the body of the Spark is a bit smaller, but in folded form, they're almost the same size or they're very close.
Ah.
The Air, the Mavic Air. So that's kind of amazing because, I mean, very different price points here. And of course, very different performance. The Mavic Air is 4K, right? And the Spark is a 1080p. So I don't know. I think DJI is doing some cool stuff. I'm going to have to,
I don't have
a relationship at all with them. I'm going to need to connect with their PR folks. Maybe you can introduce me or something. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Because I need some more drones in my life. Damn it.
I want to be able to fly them. When I was a little kid, that was my dream. I would dream about, I had this park in my backyard. It was, you know, it was a bunch of houses lining this big park, this big field. And that was my dream as a kid, to have some type of remote controlled flying helicopter with a camera on it so I could see down and get bird's eye view. That was the thing that I wanted. And now it's come to fruition and I'm too scared to fly them because of all the regulations, of course. So
you should come to California where we don't really care about that the regulations as much, especially in the middle of the desert and where it's always sunny in the middle of the desert.
Yeah, I mean, I'm born and raised San Diego, so
Miss that. Yeah, exactly. How do you manage all this rain when you're from San Diego?
You don't.
No, it's hard, right? Do you have like one of those, what's it called? Like one of those lamps? Yeah.
Yeah, my Draycast lights, they're of the right color, temperature, and brightness. So when I go to film, I suddenly feel happy because it feels
like
I'm in a sunny,
positive reinforcement
area
for your blog work, right? That's kind of awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Right on. Now you know, folks, this is why Erica publishes so many videos on her awesome YouTube channel, because her mood gets better with the lights.
Yep,
you heard it here first.
get the lights. It's so important if you live in a place where there really isn't any sun.
Yeah, you know, I own a property in Portland. So I spent some time up there and, you know, I've lived in the Northwest. I used to live in Seattle and Vancouver in Canada. So I'm kind of used to the gray weather. And I have to say that after living in California for so many years as my primary residence, it's gotten harder for me to be up in the Northwest. Like it does affect my mood a lot more than it used to. So there's something to be said there about, you know, having some sort of, you know, artificial light that simulates sunshine and to shine that on your face at least once a day for a little while, you know? Yeah.
Yep.
So Mavic Air, you're going to get one, you think? To review?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I think usually they give me a unit. They gave me the Mavic Pro. They gave me the Spark. And when the weather hit, I think they didn't end up sending me one, even though I went to the press event, probably because I didn't get to do the Spark video and it threw them off their campaign. I felt terrible about that, but I can't control the weather.
No.
So it's something I'll probably have to ask them, like, hey,
the weather's good.
Yeah,
nice,
the weather's not
again.
Good yet, but
can I get another drone?
Yeah. Yeah. It's pouring right now. It's actually really loud. I wouldn't be surprised if this picks up the rain sound.
I'm not hearing it, but I did hear the leaf blower. That leaf blower person probably got electrocuted by their electric leaf blower in the rain. I'm joking.
Yeah,
that was not
left.
An electric leaf blower. That was definitely a gasoline leaf blower. So they're probably just fine. I should stop spreading all this doom and gloom. This is just a terrible thing. Stop it, Miriam. But what was I going to say? What is your take on this HomePod speaker then?
Oh my goodness.
So much talk about that. People are flipping out about this thing.
This is where we're going to have to fill me in right now, because I have to say I'm so ashamed that I do not have a HomePod, and I didn't really listen to the press event when they were talking about the HomePod. I'm like, what is it that people love so much about these smart connected home speaker things? I have a hard time understanding it. And it's funny because Google sent me the big one, the Google Home
Max?
The Max, thank you.
Oh, nice.
And I was, and I haven't even unboxed it because I'm like, what do I do with this? So I would like to hear your explanation for what the fascination is. So maybe you can help me maybe get a little bit excited.
Well, sure. Let's talk in general about the speakers and let's talk about the HomePod. Well, so my take on this is, you know, once upon a time, Sonos ruled the roost with some really awesome sounding, and they still do make some really awesome sounding wireless speaker systems that can be, you know, set up in rooms to be synchronized to play the same music in every room, and can be set up in like nice little stereo pairs if you want slightly higher sound quality in one room. And all was good in the land of high-end modern wireless audio in your house. And then suddenly, Amazon did this thing called Alexa and Amazon Echo. And while Amazon's focus was not on audio quality, they did make a speaker that, you know, to kind of peddle their AI Alexa, they did a device, and everybody's Alexa's going off right now. I just love doing that. They made this device that had decent sound quality and, as an aside, could play back music from the Amazon services, right? The main intent was to give you a touchless UI and an assistant, AI assistant in your home that would let you probably ultimately order more stuff from Amazon, but at least, tell you the weather, the traffic, and other stuff. And it took off. It was cool. It worked well. I thought it was gimmicky in the early days. I didn't care too much. But when I saw how people reacted to it and how popular it became, I finally got one myself. I got actually a little Echo Dot and the little baby one that's really cheap. And I have to say, it's pretty awesome. So then Google, of course, did Google Home last year, right? Mm-hmm. And we all got one at Google I.O., right? And we all kind of were like, well, this is basically, so, you know, to fill in the rest of the story here, this is basically like the original Amazon Echo, the bigger one, but instead of Alexa, it's got a much more cool and awesome assistant called Google Assistant. And, you know, it does more than just play music from the Google Play Store, and but it does less in terms of controlling Internet of Things, home automation stuff, because Alexa has more support there. But it does a lot more in terms of meshing with your Google and, you know, account and your calendar and your email and all that good stuff. So, you know, then, of course, Apple announced that they were going to make a speaker with Siri. And at first, it really looked like it was just going to be, you know, kind of like getting into that market of putting their assistant on a speaker. And of course, being Apple, right, the audio would be decent. But over time, things have evolved a little bit. First of all, Amazon released the Echo 2.0, which is slightly better sounding, supposedly. And then, but still more of a, you know, AI appliance than an audio device. And then Google really pushed the envelope by really launching the Home Max, which is really like a sound quality focused AI speaker. And then Sonos came out with the Sonos One and joined, you know, the revolution. And theirs works with both Alexa and Google Assistant, which is really cool because you don't have to buy two separate speakers. And of course, supports all the awesome Sonos features of multi-room stereo pairing and all that good stuff. I think, honestly, Sonos seems like to be the one that I would probably root for at this point. But at the same time, it turns out that HomePod in its, you know, pricing and the design is more like a Google Home Max or a Sonos speaker. Like, it's high end and the sound quality is the focus. And so that's kind of where we are. And the HomePod, the more we're like, so, you know, I think the pre-orders, you know, you could pre-order it starting this past Friday. And I think it's available on February 9th, if I'm right. Maybe I'm wrong. Please double check those dates with me. You don't have to do that.
Right,
I'm just, when I say, please do something, it's generally my listeners.
Oh, right.
So, okay. But if you want to, go for it. I'm too lazy to start a new tab. But yeah, so basically, the thing is coming. You'll be able to buy it soon. And I'm sure it'll be sold out for a while. But what's interesting is that in the development like of this launch, we've found out that really Apple's emphasis is actually not on the AI speaker, like on the Siri part. It's more on the audio quality and the AirPlay part, like the fact that any AirPlay device can play to this thing. And that means all your Macs and iPhones can directly play audio. If you have an HTC phone that supports AirPlay, you can play directly to the phone. And you know, like Sonos that does use Wi-Fi for their wireless playback, everybody knows that AirPlay and Wi-Fi audio sounds better and is more bulletproof and reliable than anything over Bluetooth. And, you know, obviously the Google speakers and the Amazon speakers, the Echoes, are more about streaming music from the cloud, like from your existing music services. And of course, HomePod supports that as well, but it's all Apple's ecosystem. So basically, you know, it's like every one of those silos of every one of those three ecosystems is releasing their smart AI, you know, assistant speaker. But I think Apple is putting way more emphasis on audio and audio quality and audio playback and streaming audio via AirPlay right now, at least.
That's good.
Than the competition. And, you know, knowing Apple is probably going to sound pretty damn good, but it's going to be hard to compete with Sonos because I'm sure Sonos, I haven't actually listened to the new Play One, their you know, Alexa and Google Assistant equipped speaker, but based on other Sonos products I've listened to, it should be a pretty damn good sounding product. And Sonos is currently selling two Sonos Ones for the price like of one HomeKit. You can get a pair of Sonos Ones. So that's going to be a tough act to beat because I'm sure it's going to sound pretty amazing, the Sonos One. And sure, the HomePod is also going to sound pretty amazing, but you know, two for the price of one, choose your ecosystem, of course, because Siri is not supported on anything else right now. But I think it's going to be interesting. And then the Home Max sounds really great too. Has a lot of emphasis on audio performance. And
so I should take it out of the box is what you're telling me.
If you enjoy listening to music and you want Google Home product in your house, assuming you have the original or an Home Mini, I have a Home Mini. I have a bunch of Home Minis. They were so cheap. The $30 sale at the holidays, I bought a bunch of them. But, you know, to replace one of them in whatever room that you enjoy music the most, it's probably not a bad idea to unbox that Google Home Max. Yeah.
I would like it if it can interface with my TV so I can use those speakers to actually sound good from DVD. But
so that's actually a good question. I'm wondering if that's possible. I don't think so. Actually,
I don't see any line out. I don't know if there was any line out or anything for that.
No, and then I don't think so.
I don't need it. I don't want it syncing over Bluetooth, even if that was possible.
Yeah.
So probably not. I don't think it is. I sincerely like 99.9% doubt it.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. So that's the challenge with these things is, you know, like they're very ecosystem centric. But of course, you know, they're here to stay. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, The putting an assistant in the speaker is the future. The thing is, I would love to see more of what Sonos is doing, where you pick your assistant. That way, like I have some rooms in both my places I live where I have both, you know, an Alexa and like an Echo Dot and a Home Mini, because I prefer using Google Assistant for things like the weather, my calendar, and other, you know, more like esoteric life questions. But I use Alexa for my home automation because it supports my devices better for home automation, right? So, okay, so what do we do about that? Like unifying those two would really be great. And that's what I think Sonos is trying to do. And I think they're going to pull it off. And that's, to me, very exciting. So that being said, I'm excited about all these things. You know, like I like audio, so speakers make me happy. Headphones make me happy. So we'll see how it goes. I don't think I'll get a HomePod review unit. I mean, I'm in good terms with Apple, but I'm not a big enough player for them to send me devices to review anymore. I mean, when I was at Engadget, I would get them, but I probably will take a listen to a friend's once they get it. I haven't received a Google Home Max review unit, but I haven't really requested one. And I'm sure if I did, it would come. And I'm sure I could get Sonos send me a Sonos Play One or two. And so, you know, maybe I should do a comparison. Maybe I should write a story on one of the various freelance websites that I write at and compare them. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, why not?
So, yeah, I mean, that's basically it in terms of news. But I want to talk about a couple of other things real quick. You know, tell me what your thoughts about CES were. I know it's getting a little old and long in the tooth, but at the same time, what was your experience like there?
I was actually happy that there were a lot of non-vaporware type products, and some of them that already were announced back in December. So that there were a lot of things that you could actually buy. So I was actually really excited. Samsung had the wall TV. I'm happy to see that they're starting to actually have a consumer product that's micro LED, even if it's probably going to be $200,000 at least for their TV. But
yeah,
I was really excited to see that we're kind of starting to be right before we're going to see some micro LED products. So that was exciting. I think it's still 4 years out until we actually see anything truly mainstream in the market, but that was exciting. And
yeah,
one thing I'm really excited for are those tablets that are always connected that are run by Snapdragon 835, hopefully 845. That way it's always on. It's more like a smartphone, but it's got a full operating system on it. That fascinates me.
Yeah, no, I think I'm waiting for something like that in a laptop form factor, like, you know, where the keyboard is like maybe like Surface Book or something like that form factor, because I can't deal with those flimsy, you know, like screen cover type keyboards. That's always what rubs me wrong. I'm a big fan of the laptop.
I'm a laptop person too.
Form factor. So that's what I'm looking
for. I'm not a tablet person. Not tablet.
But at the same time, you know, I've used these and tested them out and excuse me. And I have to say, like, wow, like Snapdragon 835 and 845 running Windows 10 is buttery fast and smooth, and you don't really lose anything. All you gain is battery life, and you gain the LTE capability built in, which I think is a bonus no matter what, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd be there. I mean, I really would like to really try those out.
Anything else stood out for you at CES? Did you play with Project Linda from Razer?
So I didn't actually get to go to CES, but I was on the sidelines watching everything. And Razer Project Linda, I am excited to see that, because I think they're going to be, if they actually bring it to market. And I saw Marquez asking Razer, will you guys do this? And he was like, the PR was like, let's see, maybe we can actually get that to happen. I was just watching and seeing the banter. So I think they are the first company who would actually get it right to where people would want to dock their phone and carry that around. Having it as a trackpad, that's genius. That's a genius idea to me.
Yeah, absolutely, right?
My one complaint is it being, I mean, we look at Android and then we look at Apple. Apple's really done it well with their iPad and all the third-party support that they have for applications. Then you look at Android, and when you have full-screen apps for tablets, they don't all, you know, utilize the screen space, or they're not adapted for it, and they just look like a phone application, and that would drive me nuts. So I would like it if it was dual boot on this phone with, I don't know, Linux or something that's actually an operating system.
Yeah, I mean, Chrome OS maybe even.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're getting there. I think, you know, there's going to be eventually a merging of Android and Chrome OS, which is going to make it more versatile and make these kind of products possible in a more user friendly way. I'm hoping, because yeah, I agree with you. Like, making Android, you know, desktop form factor is just not going to cut it for what we need to do, right?
Right. It hasn't taken off. It won't take off. So unless there's something that's actually useful, like you're saying, Chrome OS or something else, I don't think that's really what's holding it back. I'm pretty sure it's the operating system that's holding it back.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
And app support.
What else did you see come out of CES that made you go,
We saw a rollable screen from LG, which looked like it was only a prototype.
Yeah, that TV was cool, though. I mean, it looked in person.
The iBo.
It looked, oh, yeah, that's right. The iBo dog.
It came back and people are like, whoa, it's always connected to record your voice and images and it's all being uploaded to Sony servers for them to data mine and spy on you. I don't know. So people are not excited about the AIBO, but I can't help but think it's so adorable and cute.
Yeah.
The way it's going to be using machine learning because I wanted one so badly.
I know. I think we all did. It was just too expensive and, you know, So it's kind of cool that they didn't kill it off completely. I agree with you. That's good news. So we've talked about CES and we've talked about Mobile World Congress and what's upcoming. I'm kind of curious, what is, for the world to know, what is your daily driver? What is the phone that spends the most time in your pocket?
So this one is always so hard to answer because as we mentioned before, we love something so much and then we have to move on to something else. So here it goes. I've got my iPhone 10 that's always connected on one SIM.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll have whatever Android phone that's just in my fancy at that moment. So whether it's my Note 8 or the Google Pixel or the OnePlus 5 or 5T, those three are the Android phones that I've really liked. And the Razer phone, too, now that I have to return that one. But if it was mine, those are the four that I'd really be cycling between. The Razer, the Pixel, the Note 8, and the OnePlus 5/5T.
Right.
So, there you go.
That's cool. And so, but more like, obviously, there's been some phones that have been released more recently. You know, what's the latest phone you've kind of reviewed? I mean, I'm thinking Mate 10
the
Pro.
The Razer phone.
Oh, Razer, yeah. Did you get the Mate to play with the Mate 10 Pro?
I didn't get it. And people are like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, it just didn't happen. So maybe I should get my hands on one.
I mean, it's not too late, you know, because you still have a bit of a window before the potential P20 comes along. Right. I think that you should ping the folks at Huawei and see if they can hook you up with Honor 7X.
I'm sure they would.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's worth it. It's a really great phone, honestly.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, I shall ask.
Yeah. So, and in terms of phones of 2017, like, you know, obviously I think you talked about four of them that I think are pretty significant top, at least in the top 10. What about other phones like the V30 or, you know, we talked about it briefly. Any other phones really tickled your fancy last year?
I liked the Key One, the BlackBerry Key One.
Yeah, we talked about that too, huh?
Yeah, so I used that one. And what else? I wanted to play with the Axon M, but didn't get my hands on that one. How about for you?
I did play with the Axon M. I got one from ZTE, or was it AT&T? I can't remember who sent it to me. But you know, look, it's cool. It's a cool proof of concept, right? I mean, it works and it's interesting, and people are like, you know, wow, what is that when you kind of open it up? And it's kind of magical, kind of doubling your screen real estate so quickly, right? Because it does really work. But it is a little clunky in many ways. You know, Snapdragon 821 and the way the camera is set up where it's, you know, in the front, but it's really in the back because there's only one camera. And like
not
the
intuitive
user experience around it still has a lot of polishing that needs to happen to make it a really great product. But a lot of the cornerstones and pillars are there. And I think that, you know, had it been, you know, had it not come out as an exclusive on AT&T, if ZTE had been able to launch this solo as an unlocked phone, we would have seen it 6 months sooner and it would have been a lot more interesting, even though it would have still probably been a bit of a mixed bag in terms of user experience. The other phone that I think did that for me last year was the Asus Zenfone AR, because I did a hands-on with that phone at CES 2017 and it wasn't in my hands to review until Verizon finally launched it in the US in August 2017. And by then, you know, Snapdragon 821, it just, you know, was kind of obsolete before it launched.
Right.
And this is a problem when the US carriers, you know, get like a special phone from one of the kind of smaller manufacturers. They go through this lengthy process, you know, to make sure that it's safe for the networks and whatever, all that stuff.
Yeah. Why do you think Apple's king? Because it's all anyone ever really hears about. And that's all that actually really gets support and doesn't have carrier BS tied to it.
Exactly. So. And so that's the problem, right? Like, to me, that's what kind of killed these two phones, because they should have come out 6 months sooner to be competitive, and they didn't. So it's a sad state of affairs. That's basically just the reality here. You know, and I wonder what other phone we're going to say about that about in a year. You know, I'm sure there'll be more. But yeah, I was very excited about the, you know, for me, I guess I have a top five for 2017, and I've discussed it on the podcast before, and that's really, you know, chronologically, V30, Note 8, iPhone 10, Pixel 2, and more specifically the XL, and Mate 10 Pro. Those were my top five picks of 2017. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's others.
Oh, I like the Xperia XZ Premium. That was the one that really got me. Otherwise, I loved the Xperia XZ Premium, XZ, whatever, the thing we were struggling with the name.
I can never remember that name. It's terrible. I never got one
phone.
Of those. That's one of those that I mean, I have a contact at Sony, but I just didn't feel it was going to be exciting to me. Like, I'm kind of done with large bezel 16:9 aspect ratio phones, to be honest.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I didn't expect for it to really catch my interest, but there was just something about the way that it felt and how smooth that it was. And I have an eagle eye. So for me, being able to watch 4K content native actually
looked fantastic. Yeah, yeah.
And taking pictures, and after you take your picture, they've got, a 20 megapixel sensor? But when you view it on the screen, you actually get to see every little bit of detail in that picture. So that was really neat and helpful to go out and take pictures in a gorgeous surrounding and actually see that detail.
Yeah, on the screen. I get that. And the slow-mo on that phone is really freaking awesome too.
Oh, yes, that too.
But I felt they kind of like the fact that the US version didn't have the fingerprint reader enabled. Like,
oh,
all
yeah.
this
I didn't
weird
use that
stuff.
One.
I don't know. Like, it's kind of a miss, and it just didn't seem that competitive in some ways, but I know it had some strengths, and I mean, it has a dedicated camera key, doesn't it?
Yes.
And that's another nice thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, other phones I liked in 2017 was the U11, the OnePlus 5, and OnePlus 5T.
Yes, the U11. I love the U11 as well.
The
G6. Yes, and the G6.
I mean, all of those were great, but they were kind of and the Galaxy S8 and S8 Plus, and
they got Eclipse,
and they were all good. Yeah. They all got Eclipse, and of course the Essential phone I thought was very interesting. I got to play with a Mi Mix 2. Trying to think. I mean, there were a lot of phones this year. I had a bonanza of phones. There was all the Moto phones.
Hence the burnout.
Yeah. There was all the Moto phones, including the disaster that was the Z2 Force, and the awesomeness that was the Z2 Play. Ironically, it's always the Play series and the Z that gets my attention, not the Force or the big one. They really messed that one up this year, I thought. But yeah, I mean, you know, so much to talk about there. It's tough to be a phone reviewer. So many phones, so little time.
Yep. And then if you release it too late, you better call it 1 month later or 2 months later, because otherwise you're late and no one wants to watch it anymore.
Everybody hates you. I know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Have you played with any kind of oddball phones this year? Phones that you didn't expect you would get your hands on. For me, that was like the Mi Mix 2, but also I got the Mi Android 1 phone, the A1, which, you know, runs Android 1, which is completely the opposite of most Xiaomi phones that are totally skinned to death. And it's a pretty affordable phone, less than $200, and it runs Android 1.
Yeah.
So that was kind of an unexpected little one. I'm trying to think of others. Any for you?
I haven't, and this is where I want to make a better focus this year, because all the flagships kind of have reached a point where they're not moving forward very much. So I'm really wanting to go and look at the underdogs and have more of a chance to look at those this year, because there's a lot of interesting things going on with those. There's a lot of progress So we're kind of at a standstill a little bit with the flagship. So I really do want to get my hands on more of the ones that I wouldn't really get my hands on. So I haven't, but that's going to be my next focus. Sorry, I'm losing my voice.
Yeah. For me, I guess, you know, I said Xiaomi A1 or Android One. I enjoyed the Moto E4, you know, the super cheap $80 Verizon phone, because it was, you know, everything we love about a Moto phone, you know, like all the stuff was, it was very well balanced. Even though it was a cheap phone, it had all the features that you need, including a fingerprint reader and a camera.
Right, I miss looking at those.
A camera that was actually serviceable, but at the same time, it was so affordable. I kept thinking to myself, if I was really on a budget and I needed a phone that could do everything and was, you know, had as pure of an Android experience as possible, the E4 would really hit, you know, hit the spot, because it's like, it's actually really freaking good, you know? So I could live with it as my main phone, which is kind of insane when you consider that, you know, I, you know, rock a Pixel 2 XL as my main phone right now. So yeah. And
yeah, I really want to get back into looking. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Go on.
Just saying, it's fascinating to be able to use the device that is the least powerful and get the most out of it. There's something really gratifying about that.
Yeah, you're right. The other thing is a bunch of other Motos caught my attention. The X4 was a delightful phone. The G5 series were all pretty awesome. I mean, Moto is definitely delivers in the mid range, in the low end always. And, yeah, I mean, those are some of the standouts for me that weren't flagships. I'm probably forgetting some. But anyway, we could dwell forever. The reason I asked you about this, about kind of oddball phones, is because I wanted to kind of bring up something that I'm playing with right now that I just got to review and that I just did an unboxing on my YouTube channel. And that's the Cat S41 rugged phone. I got to review the S60 rugged phone from Cat 2 years ago. They had, 1.5 years ago, I guess. It's the one that has the thermal camera, the FLIR camera built in. And it was interesting. A lot of it was interesting, primarily because of the FLIR camera. But the S41 that I just got like last week and I'm playing with right now is kind of like a cheaper mid, like even more mid range than the S60 mid range, and obviously newer, so it's in some ways better. It's got a better display, for example. But right. It is more affordable, and it definitely is rugged. I mean, it's like mil spec, you know, drop shock resistant, like temperature, weather crazy, water resistant, all the good stuff. And it's a little pricey, which is kind of hard to recommend because of that. And it doesn't have a fingerprint reader, which is a major bummer these days. But everything else about it, honestly, if you want a phone that's kind of indestructible, it's kind of interesting. So that's why I was like thinking of what are the phones that kind of crossed my desk that were kind of like, not phones that I would necessarily buy myself, but they were kind of cool.
Something nice to look at, something different. And it's always raining here in Washington, and I do like to go out and to go on walks or hike or whatever. So that would be like the perfect Northwest, Pacific Northwest, you know, outdoorsy phone. So I wouldn't mind taking a look at that.
Indeed. Well, you should request one. Those guys are very keen on getting their phone out there in the hands of reviewers. You know, related to that, I just got, Xiaomi sent me their Mi Sphere camera, which is a 360 camera. And, you know, at first I was like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, you send me one. It's cool. I like to try 360 cameras from time to time. Turns out it's one of the best ones that you can buy today in terms of quality. It's insanely high quality and it's not really expensive. And, I'm kind of blown away and I'm kind of feeling like, wow, I can actually do some cool stuff with this camera. If you go to my Twitter, you'll see I posted a photo like yesterday or the day before. I'm here in Zagreb, taken with it. And it's really impressive, the quality.
Yeah, I saw there's some cool, their software interface, they allow you to make tiny planets and they allow you to do really cool things with the panorama to kind of pan through it. Yeah. And it's only available. Is it just the Chinese market type?
You know, I don't know. Product? I think you can buy it on Amazon. So I don't think it's necessarily, I mean, it's been out for 6 months. It's not like it's new or anything. I just don't know why they ping me about it now, but it's not like my bread and butter to write about 360 cams. So I was like, sure, I'll try one out. Go for it. And I'm kind of pleasantly surprised, to be frank. So there you are. Hmm. Yeah. It's a mad world. Do you have any 360 cameras? Have you played with any?
I have the Gear 360.
Oh, that's pretty old now.
I mean, I got one during the press event, and I really haven't used it much because I'm like, well, what practical application can I really use this if I want it to be seen in video? They have to only put on headgear just for that. So if I could get it to stitch or something and look cool, apart from having to use some type of stereoscopic headset, I would.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I like about this Mi camera. The quality is really high, and it gives you so many options to view it in different ways that don't necessarily require you to wear some VR gear. So that's kind of cool.
Right.
So we should probably wrap it up. I just wanted to give you a chance to, you know, to pimp yourself. pitch people about your work. Tell them where they can find you online and all that. Will you?
So yeah, sure. You can go to ericagriffin.com. That's really the base for my videos, or you can go to youtube.com/ericagriffin. And I come up, I make very in-depth reviews. That's really my bread and butter, is to really get to the nitty gritty that a lot of things are that other reviewers will pass over or whatever, because I'm just insane that way. I have to really dive down deep. I just cannot help myself.
Yeah, no, so, I mean, you guys should really follow Erica. It's really good stuff. Absolutely. Do you use Twitter?
Yeah, all the time. I'm always, so it's at @IAM_Erica. It looks like I am Erica. So.
Yeah, no, I like that you've got this clever handle. Yeah, cool. You guys know where to find me. I'm at Tankgirl on Twitter. That's TNKGRL. So like, think comic book character without the vowels. My YouTube channel, obviously, is Miriam Jouar, like my full name. So youtube.com/Miriam Jouar, Miriam with a Y. But you know, most of the important stuff happens here on my podcast. And if you don't know, if you come across this podcast by accident and you want to subscribe, I'm on iTunes, I'm on Pocket Cast, but just simply visit mobiletechpodcast.com in one long word, and you can subscribe to the RSS feed right there, and you know, put it in your favorite podcast app. So please subscribe. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, in which I show you a lot of the devices I talk about on the show. For me, it's a lot of unboxings and maybe some occasional reviews. And then don't forget to, you know, like the videos and tell all your friends about all this stuff. You know, that's how we build community. And thanks again, Erica, for being on. It was really a pleasure.
Yeah,
I'm glad you could make it. Yeah.
Yeah, no problem.
Come back sometime, okay?
Yeah. Just let me know when.
Awesome. Right on. So stay tuned for next week's folk. And I want to thank the people at World Podcast, my production team, for making this podcast happen every week. And we'll talk to you soon. Cheers.
Bye.
This has been the Mobile Tech Podcast with Tank Girl, proudly presented by worldpodcasts.com. You can visit us online at mobiletechpodcast.com.